Hello and welcome to Technology Today. This is your host, Rich Kesmer. On Technology Today, we discuss technology issues of the day and examine how technology is affecting our lives these days. And as I see every week, it seems to be having a bigger and bigger impact as time goes on. Tonight on the show, we're fortunate to have a guest with us. We have Chris Rowan. Chris is a pediatric occupational therapist and child development expert. Hello, Chris.
Hello.
Chris, thanks for joining us this evening. And Chris, I'll give you the opportunity to share a little bit about your background with our listeners. And if you want to share any info like website addresses or anything like that so they can check in to some information while they're listening, that's fine.
Thank you, Rich. So I've been working with kids for 27 years now in schools, clinic, home settings. And I've noticed a real change in our children, in their development, in how they play, their behavior, their ability to learn. About 10 years ago, I started picking up a significant shift in problems with kids. And so I just kind of wondered at that time how much of that was due to the video games. It was video games and TV. Stepped kind of away from my clinical work and started looking at the research and realizing that we were really seeing a significant impact of technology overuse on children, their development, their ability to learn, and their behavior. So since that time, I've been doing lots and lots of workshops. I've done over 300 workshops now for parents, health professionals, and educators. Wrote a book called Virtual Child, The Terrifying Truth of What Technology is Doing to Our Children, which is on Amazon.com. And I have a monthly child development newsletter. I've got a blog. My blog is called movingtolearn.ca. My website has a ton of information on it, and it's called Zonin. So it's Zonin.ca. And so I'm really just trying to kind of work with professionals in the field to start recognizing some of the issues that are related to technology overuse, and then determining what we can do to start really beefing up healthy activities that help children grow and succeed, and through that, you know, reducing the use of technology.
Okay, great. That's an excellent intro. Thank you for sharing all that. So first, just the question: what do you include in the term technology?
Well, technology is pretty much anything that kids are, consuming, entertaining themselves with these days. So that includes TV, and then, of course, anything that's accessible through a computer. So internet-based education games. Obviously, you can watch Netflix on the computer. So really, it's TV, internet, and phones. Generally speaking, the research does not include music-based technologies such as iPods when they're doing research. So when I say the word tech or technology, I'm really referencing more that TV, internet-based consoles, iPads, laptops, computers, and then phone-based technology.
Okay, great. And what are some of the basic issues that you're seeing? Maybe you could just kind of share several of them with us.
Predominantly, they fall into four domains, so physical, mental, social, and academic. So what we're seeing physically with our kids is developmental delay. So one in three children now are entering school developmentally delayed, and that really impacts hugely on their ability to attain literacy, as well as just be able to kind of even move about. We're just seeing significant delays in not only motor development, but sensory processing, in speech, in all aspects of development, cognition, socialization. So we're also seeing in the physical domain, obesity is epidemic, both in Canada and the U.S., and as is childhood diabetes. So this is something that's been worried health professionals and educators for years now, but it just keeps getting worse. And so what I usually say to people is, you know, you hand a child a device, they sit down, they're sedentary, you take it away, they get up and they start to move around. So we really have to start thinking about our, you know, the long-term health of our children, because many of these children you know, will go on to have really life-threatening problems when they get older in the cardiovascular area, so earlier stroke, earlier heart attack. Obesity is very, very, and diabetes are very hard on the cardiovascular system. So also in the physical domain are sleep problems. So we're seeing a lot of sleep deprivation. 75% of our 9 to 10-year-olds are sleep-deprived to the point where it's affecting their grades. So this is something that kids are gaming up in the middle of the night, texting in the middle of the night, and so that's creating a lot of problems sleep.
I'm sorry to interrupt. It seems like I'm seeing as many children involved in sports like soccer and football and all kinds of activities. Is that, do you know if that's true? And maybe they're just not spending their other free time doing as many physical things, or do you know if that's dropped off by any chance?
I'm not sure of when I speak, I usually cite research. So mm-hmm. I'm not aware of any research showing our kids participating in sports less.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
One would think so, but I really don't know. I'm sorry, I can't
speak
to that.
That's fine.
Okay. So in the social areas, we're seeing rises in aggression, and everybody's, you know, been seeing this in the press. Violent video games are causally related to child aggression. And generally speaking, it's the antisocial content that creates the antisocial child, but not all tech is bad. The pro-social tech, education tech, can actually have really positive effects on children. So it's really important for parents to look at content, and so that aggression is a really rising problem and creating a lot of classroom management problems as well for teachers.
What's included in pro-social tech? What are some examples?
So pro-social is where the little characters or the people are nice to each other. You know, they're doing nice things to each other. They're showing empathy. They're showing sympathy. And antisocial tech is where they're being mean to each other.
Mm-hmm.
So the younger the child, the less able they are to really comprehend, understand, kind of process this antisocial content. They apply it to real situations. You know, they're not quite able, like, especially before the age of 8, they're not really able to discern what is fantasy and what is reality. And so they're more likely, the younger children, to go out and act out, you know, the antisocial behaviors that they're observing in the, say, the video games or the pornography that they're watching.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So what falls under social as well is obviously communication. What we're seeing with very, very young children is that parents, there was an interesting study where the background TV was on, and what the study showed is that these parents who have the background TV on all day spoke 90% less to their children, and in turn those children didn't learn how to speak. So we're seeing, you know, a lot of kids going into school that don't have what we call, you know, articulate speech, or they can't express themselves, which creates all kinds of problems with frustration and those sorts of things.
Mm-hmm.
In the mental domain, in Canada, 1 in 7 children between the ages of 8 and 18 have a diagnosed mental illness. Now, this is something 27 years ago as an occupational therapist, I just never saw. I, in fact, didn't see much of that until about 15 years ago. So this propensity to diagnose and oftentimes medicate child behaviors is escalating in both Canada and the U.S. And is quite unique to in North America, in Europe, and other areas. They don't kind of do this sort of thing. But what I try to encourage people to think about is, these are really unhappy kids, and I call them our sad, mad, and bad kids. And so we have to kind of, like, look underneath these behaviors and kind of go, why is this child so sad and so mad and so bad? And oftentimes what we find is that this is a child whose parents are overusing tech to a great degree and neglecting the child. So attachment disorders from neglect are really soaring in my clinical experience, and are being very quickly labeled as problem behaviors and diagnosed. And so really we should all be stepping back and kind of going, wait, you know, do we want to do this, or can we, is there something else that we can be doing in the realm of helping the parents to better parent their children and be more available to their children, so that, that we're not, you know, they're not going down this sad, mad, and bad route.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then the fourth area, academic, Canada just dropped out of the top 10 in one of the global measures of literacy, the PISA, and we're down to 13th. I think in the U.S. you're 27th, you're rated 27th globally. And so in North America, we're spending a lot of money on education, and we're not getting, you know, we're not getting the bang for buck out of what we're putting into it. And so it, what's happening in education in both countries is we're seeing more and more emphasis put on technology without any evidence that, that this stuff does anything other than entertain the kids. Like, education technology has a great promise, a lot of promise in it and potential, but if used with the wrong children, which, and used on a global basis, we're not getting, you know, the returns that we want in that, that type of investment. So, in our academic realm, you know, kids are struggling hugely, especially with literacy, which computers can't teach. And so, there is a real propensity, again, to kind of, I call it the tech illusion. You know, we all think this stuff is so great and it's making us more productive and organized, but yet, in the realm of education technology, it's, you know, the benefits are much, much lower than the risks, and so we really need to be more judicious with that usage.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Chris, are there different issues depending on the age of the child based on technology?
That's a great question, Rich. And really what we have to look at is not so much the chronological age, but the developmental age of the child. I encourage parents and teachers to not say for anybody, you know, tech's good or tech's bad or this type of tech is good or bad. We really have to kind of think through carefully the, I call it the who, what, when, where, why, hows of tech. So, you know, who's using the tech? You know, their developmental age, do they already have, you know, say ADHD or some other problematic behavior that's associated with tech overuse, aggression, you know, so we have to look at who is the child, what are they watching, the content. I already spoke to the antisocial content creates antisocial behavior, but pro-social content can create pro-social behavior, right? So, you know, what they're watching is really important. When they're watching it, restricting access to areas that are supervised is really important. Children shouldn't be allowed to carry devices into their bedrooms and have devices in their bedrooms at night because that's really affecting sleep. You know, so thinking through all of these parameters is really important when we're making decisions about who should get tech, what type of tech they should get, when they should get it. Mm-hmm. You know, very important to carefully analyze that.
Okay. I'm sure many of our listeners are parents who want to hear some advice, but we'll turn to that topic as soon as we take a quick break here. This is Technology Today with your host, Rich Kasmer. We're here at WDVR FM 89.7 in Delaware Township, translator station W220AG 91.9 in Lawrenceville, Princeton, and Trenton, New Jersey, and 90.5 WPNJ in Easton, PA. And we're also live on the web at wdvrfm.org. We are fortunate this evening to have a guest with us. We have Chris Rowan, a pediatric occupational therapist and child development expert. And we're talking about the use of technology as it relates to children. And Chris, so let's turn our attention to what parents can and should be doing. I'm not sure where you want to start with this, so I'll leave that to you. I know you have some steps that you've outlined, or you've got some guidelines. Where's a good place to start?
Well, our two pediatric experts are the American Academy of Pediatrics, Canadian Pediatric Society, and they laid out guidelines way back in 2002 regarding technology use, and I know the American Academy just re-released these guidelines again in 2013. So what they're saying is no technology at all for the 0 to 2. So no iPads, no iPhones, not even the background TV, because I cited that study about how parents speak to children less when, you know, the background TV is going. So they're saying no tech for 0 to 2, an hour a day for ages 3 to 5, and 2 hours a day for 6 to, say, 12. In some studies, they're saying 18 years, but, you know, their parents go, oh, my gosh, you got to be kidding me. So 2 hours a day is not a lot, and yet kids are overusing about 5 times that amount.
Wow.
So this is why we're seeing problems. And so I think parents really would be wise to trust the, you know, these two academies represent every pediatrician in North America, and they are up on the research, and they know what's going on. And so if your child's overusing to a large degree, then and is having some of these issues that I talked about earlier, delayed development, obesity, or tantrums, behavior problems like tantrums or meltdowns, can't regulate their energy states, you know, get really upset, can't wait their turn. All these things are related to overuse of tech, and so that's where the parents faced with now we need to change some things at home. And as well, I also throw the schools in there that they're wise also, too, to kind of recognize these guidelines, because many schools are overusing even those guidelines, overusing the tech with the kids. So first thing I encourage, I have a 10-step plan. It's on my website, ZoneInCA. It's ZoneIn.ca. So it's a 10-step plan to reduce use of technology with your kids. And the first one is to get more information. And this is super that you're listening to me. I've got a lot more information on the website. I have a fact sheet that has over 300 referenced research articles, and it's all collated into subjects. And, you know, so there's a lot of information on my website and out there that parents can access to get more information in order to then start making decisions. So the second step I encourage parents to do is to unplug themselves and be more available to their children. This is probably the hardest step for parents, but realize that you drive the tech use with your child. So your child models and patterns after your tech use. So if you're glued to that cell phone and you're constantly texting or checking emails or Pinteresting and Facebooking and if your dad video gaming and doing porn, these are things that the kids are going to look at and they're going to want to do, of course, themselves. So make yourself available to your kids. Unplug. Create an evening where you're going to say to your kids, you know what, let's not do tech tonight. Let's play games. Let's play cards. Let's bake cookies. Let's, you know, go for a walk with the dog. Let's go to the park. But we're not taking our tech. And so start there. Start modeling appropriate tech use for your kids. So the third thing, then, is forming reconnections with your children. So what I suggest doing then is have a family meeting. Say, hey, you know, guys, we're all overusing. We're kind of tech fat, need to go on a tech diet. How are we going to go about this? So this is a decision to be made amongst the whole family, not, you know, punitive measures, you know, made by the parents on the kids, which is generally what happens, and the kids don't understand. And so, you know, we want to help educate the children and bring them on board and start creating, you know, plans to move forward. And so a really important one, I talk to parents about not reducing the tech so much at first as increasing the healthy activity. So how are we going to do that? You know, so what are we going to do? We're going to maybe join a gym or a pool, or we're going to make a decision to go on a family outing every Saturday, or we're going to create theme nights. And, you know, so Monday night we're going to always do cookies. Tuesday night we're going to always clean our rooms. Wednesday night we're going to, you know, so that there's an increase in healthy activity that helps kids grow and succeed, and automatically the child will be using less tech because there's just not enough hours in the day anymore, you know, to cram it all in. So. Mm-hmm. So beef up the healthy activity and build skills. This is really important. A lot of kids, all they know how to do is video games or texting. And so it's important to build up skills in other areas of interest that the child's interested in before you actually expect the child to go off and do those activities. So I suggest, you know, putting something on the fridge, a schedule where you're going to schedule in, you know, your tech and your healthy activity, and have a list of activities the child can do inside, you know, by themselves, with friends, outside, you know, with friends, that they can choose from then on a daily basis to replace the use of tech.
Mm-hmm.
Another big one, and I'll stop after this. Like the whole thing's on my website. You can grab it. But then another one really important is for parents to discuss their perceptions of safety. A lot of parents perceive it's just not safe out there, and so those children use, statistically speaking, more technology.
Mm-hmm.
So are their expectations, you know, realistic? Discuss those. You know, like possibly. They can lighten up a bit and let the child become more curious and explorative in their day-to-day life.
Okay, great. I imagine that with some percentage of parents, they have trouble kind of disconnecting themselves and or taking your full set of recommendations to heart. How are you able to get through to them? Is it by citing some of the statistics or...
I work directly with families who have addictions, and we start with the information, of course. Oftentimes that's not enough because we are looking at, in many cases, an addiction. And so with any addiction, you can't just take away, you know, the substance, whatever they're overusing, you know. It's important to, like I say, start building. I work with families to build up what I call the resilience of the family fabric. What are their values? What are their interests? What can we support that's going to bring that family together? And then together they can be able to start reducing the use of technology. So it's we're into some pretty muddy water here, and you know, I got to say, it's getting kind of scary. The numbers that I'm seeing, and statistically that we're seeing of families with addiction issues, and
wow.
We've never before in the history of humankind had children with addictions. So this is something quite new, and is going to be pretty difficult for health and education systems to address.
Now, as bad as it is in Canada and here in the U.S., you were telling me about your recent trip to China, and I watched the video that you forwarded. It looks like they may even have a bigger addiction problem there.
Well, they're on it. Let's put it that way. In 2008, they categorized it as an addiction, and they really jumped on board with creating some pretty effective programs for video game addicted youth. They have over 300 of these. They're similar to boot camp, where kids are not impatient, but they are admitted to these camps for periods of up to 3 to 4 months. So these are youth who are addicted to video games and porn, and they use a combination of therapy and really you know, a lot of drills, physical activity, and absence of all tech. So I was very impressed. I went there to do workshops, but also I met a number of different people in this area, and they're quite ahead of us in the fact that they're recognizing it as a problem. Same with South Korea. So I would say here in North America, we're just pulling the wool over our eyes and kind of, you know, in denial over the extent of the issue, whereas in other countries they're really identifying it and treating it on a very wide basis.
Okay. Well, Chris, we're just about out of time, but again, I want to share your website with our listeners. It's zonein, zoneinin.ca, and don't be scared off by the CA. Chris is in Canada, so that's a valid extension. What's the title of your book again?
Virtual Child.
That's available, as Chris said, on Amazon. And if you look her up, it's C-R-I-S, Chris Rowan, R-O-W-A-N. Any other info that you'd like to share in the last minute or so, Chris?
Don't be scared about this. This is something we're going to all have to do at some point, start really, really looking at how much tech we're using, especially if we have children. So if you walk away and you do nothing, it's the problem's going to persist. It's kind of like what you resist persists, and what you look at disappears. So start looking at it, taking baby steps. Cookie night, Monday night. It's a good one.
Mm-hmm. Very Very good. And just, I guess, if you wanted to leave people with one first step, it's the one in your list is to become informed, correct?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
And disconnect yourself.
Yep. Great.
Your kids will love you for it. They will.
Chris, thank you so much for being a guest this evening. Really appreciate all the information that you shared.
Thank you, Rich.
This has been Technology Today with your host, Rich Kesmer. Feel free to give me a call during the day at 908-419-2834 with any suggested topics or technology questions. And remember to back up your important data. And have a great week, everybody.